Hear the Gospel reading from John's Gospel. John chapter 3. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who came from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter the second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," Jesus said, "and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. This is the gospel of the Lord.
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Lord, thank you for these famous words. Thank you for this amazing part of your word. And we want to ask and pray that your Holy Spirit will be with each one of us today, that this conversation that Jesus has with Nicodemus would come alive, and that we would hear you speaking to us, to our own individual hearts today, your message of eternal life. And we pray it in your name. Amen. Well, I want to just start by relaying a conversation I was having earlier this week. It was in the Stag and Hounds, just outside Bracknell. I was with some friends from medical school, some of them I haven't seen for a long time. And we were sipping our drinks, having a very nice evening, when suddenly the pathology doctor suddenly came out with it. He said, "I'm absolutely burnt out. I'm absolutely worn out. Do you know what? I've decided to take early retirement. In 10 years' time, with 57, I'm going to retire. I've got it all worked out. You know, I just want to have time to do the things that I love." Well, another one said, "You're having a midlife crisis," and said, "What about everybody else? How's your midlife crisis going?" And of course, then it all started to come out. The cancer doctor said, actually, I've just resigned from being the director of our department. I've just done it for 3 years, and I'll continue working there, but I'm not going to be the director anymore. I want to have more time with my family. The chest doctor said, "I lost a major amount of funding for my research this summer. I worked so hard for it. It really hurt. It felt unfair. But you know what I've learned? I'm not going to work as hard now. This is not worth it. And, well, the ex-psychiatrist shuffled uneasily and had to admit, I've just had a three-month sabbatical. Well, the midlife crisis. And I think at its heart is a desire to have life, a desire to have life as it is meant to be, the good life, and the fear that you might just be missing out. Now, we're all at different ages, aren't we, here? But I guess whatever our age, we share this same desire. We want to have life, and we fear missing out. So I wonder, how do you feel your life is going at the moment? Imagine you're in the pub and we're having this conversation. How is your life going? If you're a Christian believer here this morning, it may be that you think, well, I've got the answer to life in Jesus Christ. And I'm feeling quite happy. Maybe you're feeling quite happy at the moment. Or maybe not. Maybe as a Christian, you're thinking, isn't life supposed to be better than this? Isn't it supposed to be happy? And actually, the reality is it's just really hard. Or maybe you're not here as a convinced Christian yet. Well, I hope you will become that, but maybe you're not yet. And actually, you're quite happy with life. You don't feel that you need faith. You feel okay. But let me put it to you, what if that happiness doesn't last? You know, what if there's sickness or bereavement or your own terminal coming? Or maybe you're not yet a Christian and you're not happy, actually. And maybe you can identify with my friends in the pub feeling frustrated and worrying you might be missing out. Well, last week, as we've been reminded today, Jesus offered life, the wine symbolizing the overflowing life in his kingdom. And he also was coming to cleanse, to bring judgment on evil. And I think the million-dollar question at the beginning of John chapter 3 is, well, how can I have that life? How can I have life? And the simple answer in John chapter 3 is that only God can give it. Only God can give it. So here's the first thing today. Believe that God alone can give life. We're going to look at a conversation going on between Jesus and Nicodemus. So we need to understand a little bit about who this guy Nick is. He's a Pharisee, verse 1. That's one of the kind of most religiously keen groups of the day. He's a member of the Jewish ruling council. He's a significant leader. Jesus later on calls him Israel's teacher. He's obviously a great teacher of the faith. And he comes to see Jesus by night. Maybe he's afraid of what his fellow Pharisees will think of him associating with Jesus. It can be quite hard. I mean, my friend Ross did a Christianity Explored course and found a lot of abuse, really, from work colleagues just for doing that. Maybe that's why Nicodemus came by night. But I think that night is a significant word in John's gospel, and it often refers to moral and spiritual darkness. And so, as we'll see, it's almost symbolistic of the fact that Nicodemus, at the moment, is in the dark spiritually. Well, what does Nicodemus think of Jesus? Have a look at verse 2. He says, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. Well, Rabbi is a respectful way to address Jesus, certainly from a Pharisee. To describe him thinking that he's from God is also a sign, isn't it, that Nicodemus is getting positively interested in Jesus. But we can see from the rest of the conversation that he's not there yet. Perhaps he's a little bit like the people at the end of chapter 2. There were people that saw Jesus' signs. They put their faith in him, but Jesus could see into them and knew that they didn't yet have real faith. And so what does Jesus think of Nicodemus? Well, I don't know if you saw in the news this week that scientists from Stanford University in America have discovered that a common food dye can make your skin and your muscles see through. And they've put it on some mice and been able to have a look in at their internal organs without the use of a scalpel. Amazing, isn't it? See through. Well, that power is exactly what Jesus displays, spiritually speaking. So in chapter 2:25, it says, he didn't need man's testimony about man. He knew what was in a man. And he doesn't wait for Nicodemus's question here. He goes straight to the nub of the issue. He knows exactly what the key thing is. Look at verse 3. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Astonishing words, aren't they, from Jesus. Incidentally, the word again, you might see it in your footnote, is it could also be translated as from above. The word actually in the original means both. And I think that John deliberately has it here to show that both apply. Although Nicodemus clearly takes it to mean again. And he doesn't understand, does he, what Jesus is saying. Just look at verse 4. He says, how can a man be born when he is old? Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. This whole idea is something that just does not compute with Nicodemus. And maybe he's even sort of mocking Jesus by saying this. So how does Jesus explain what he means? Because that's what he goes on to do. Look at verse 5. He says, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. So flesh giving birth to flesh, he's talking about natural life that we all know about. And the Spirit giving birth to the Spirit, I think he's talking about the fact that we need the Holy Spirit to give someone spiritual life. That's what it means to be born again, for the Holy Spirit to come and help you to have this new life. And he goes on to explain it a bit further. He says in verse 8, the wind. And again, interestingly, in the original, the word for wind and spirit is the same. So he ties the two things together. He says, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. We can't see the wind, can we? We can see it, we can hear it, we can feel it, and we can see its effect. But we can't see it, and we can't really, it's difficult for us to understand it, isn't it? And it is the same with this new birth that Jesus is talking about, that we can't see the Holy Spirit. We can't fully understand this, but we can see his effects, giving people new life in Christ. Now, I think there's a background to Jesus' teaching here from the Old Testament. You see, Nicodemus is Israel's teacher. He should really know his Old Testament. And what Jesus is saying has huge echoes with what the prophets said was going to happen when the Messiah came. And in particular, there's two great chapters in the book of Ezekiel where the prophet talks exactly about this thing. Let me just read a couple of sentences from what the prophet says is going to happen when the Messiah comes. He says, I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries. This is Ezekiel chapter 6, verse 25. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. There's the great Old Testament promise of the coming of the Spirit. And you see that language of water, of washing as well, which I think is why Jesus says water here, which otherwise would be quite confusing. But in spite of all of this, Nicodemus is still saying, how can this be? How can this be? And I think we need to recognize the shock here. The Jewish people expected to be in the Messiah's kingdom. And especially people like the Pharisees, the Jewish religious leaders, and Nicodemus, Israel's teacher. And yet, Jesus is saying, even Nicodemus needs to be born again. What Ezekiel said about the nation has to happen to each and every one of us. We need new life, not from within us, but from another realm, from above. We need to be born again. When Luke in Star Wars went to the Jedi Master Yoda, Yoda said to him, you must unlearn what you have learnt. Well, Israel's teacher needs to go back to kindergarten. In fact, it's even more than that, even more profound. He needs to go back to the womb, spiritually speaking. He needs to be born again from above. There was another gloomy report this week, Lord Darcy's report on the NHS. He said it's in a critical condition. And the Prime Minister said that it needs the biggest reimagining of our NHS since its birth, which I think means he's saying the NHS needs to be born again. Otherwise, it's in big trouble, isn't it? As we can see. And in the same way, we need to be born again. God alone can give life. Now, this message is staggering. It's incredible. It is also offensive to human pride because we think, don't we, can sort ourselves out. But this message always has been and always will be one that cuts us down like this. And yet, it is vital. We absolutely need it. We need to accept it. And it is really good news if we do. Great and encouraging news. Back in the spring, when we were doing the Lent talks, I had the joy of doing a Lent talk about the great revival of the church that happened in the 18th century here. It was a spiritually dark time until some really brave people started to proclaim this message. You must be born again. That was the message that changed the country, turned it upside down. People weren't very happy about it at first because they said, oh, I've been christened, I am a Christian. But they said, you need to be born again. In the same way that Nicodemus needed to be born again. It is the message that will transform our world and transform us. Believe that God alone can give life. That's the first thing that we see. And then secondly, believe in Jesus alone, not along, oh dear, believe in Jesus alone to receive life. Well, as we see, Nicodemus should know his Old Testament, but he doesn't yet compute. He's not yet born again. And I think in verses 11 down to 13, what we're seeing here is that Nicodemus, he should be Israel's teacher, but he's not. Jesus shows that he is the true teacher of Israel. And that is seen in particular in verse 13, because he's the only one who has come down from above, where the life is from, and so therefore he can give witness. He can give the new birth. But how? How does he give this life? Well, look at verse 14. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. He's referring to an incident, a famous incident in the life of Israel. They had just been rescued from Egypt by this amazing rescue of God. They'd come out, they've got new life as God's people, and they find that life's hard. It's not as easy as they expected, and they start to grumble. They start to moan and grumble against God and say, why have you done this to us? And God sends snakes among them, and some of them are bitten, and they're dying. And it's a terrible situation. So they go to Moses, ask God to help us to take the snakes away. And God says to Moses, make a snake out of bronze and put it on a pole and lift it up in front of the people. And if anyone is bitten by a snake, all he has to do is come and look at the bronze snake and he will be healed. And Jesus is saying it's exactly the same for us when it comes to our sin, when it comes to the fact that we face this judgment of God. He is going to be lifted up. And if we look to him, believe in him, we can have eternal life. Now, when is Jesus lifted up? When is he lifted up from the earth? Well, later on in John's gospel, we'll see that is when he is attached to a pole and lifted up in his crucifixion. And that is how we can have eternal life, because Jesus takes the judgment we deserve on the cross so that we can be saved. There was only one way to be saved from the snake bite. It was to look at the bronze snake. There's only one way to be saved from our sin and the judgment we deserve. It is to look to Jesus. And that's the way we can have eternal life. Life in the Messiah's kingdom. The full life. Overflowing life. Forever. Yes, we haven't yet got it in its full experience. Yes, it might be a little bit like at times the Israelites in the desert. Life is hard. And maybe if you're feeling an unhappy Christian at the moment, like I was saying at the beginning, maybe you just need to be reminded that it's not yet fully here for you. But it is going to come, and it does begin the moment you've put your trust in Jesus. Jesus does make a decisive difference to us, even now in this life. So believe that God alone can give life. Believe in Jesus alone to receive life. But why did Jesus need to be lifted up? Well, that's what the last bit's about, John 3:16 to the end. We turn now to John himself explaining why this had to happen. And let me just read verse 16, most famous verse, I think, in the English Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. It's the most amazing verse in the English Bible. God alone can give life. And what's the basis of that? It's God's love. He loves to give life. He loves you, whoever you are, whatever you've done. And he loves you and me so much. He loves this world, this sinful world, so much that he sent his one and only Son. The very best gift that God could possibly give to the world is his own Son. He gave him so that he'd be lifted up on the cross and give up his life for us. So that whoever, isn't that a great word? So God so loved the world, the so is so good, isn't it? But the whoever is so good as well, isn't it? Because whoever believes, it's an open invitation to anybody, whoever you are, whatever you've done, come and have life. John 3:16. I don't know if you memorize Bible verses. It's a really good thing to do. If you don't, or if you find it really hard, could I suggest John 3:16 is definitely one to know, definitely one to memorize. What do you do in the middle of the night when you can't sleep? Well, a great thing to do would be to say John 3:16 to yourself. Or when you're in hospital, lying there, waiting to have an anesthetic. What about John 3:16? To have it there, to say it to yourself. Or what about when you're at home, feeling lonely, feeling utterly fed up? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus came to give life. He didn't come, verse 17, to condemn. He came to save. The shock is, actually, John is explaining, that we are already condemned. Already condemned. So Jesus came on his mission to save people from condemnation. Why? Well, he says the world is dark. Nicodemus may be in the dark. The world is dark. Look at verse 19. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world. That's Jesus. But men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. I don't know if you remember those school discos where at the end of the night the teacher comes and turns on the lights and you feel really uncomfortable. And maybe it's not just because it's bright, but probably because of what you have been up to. The light is hard, isn't it, for people who love darkness. That seems to be what Jesus is saying here. In fact, there's much that could be said here. We'll look at this sort of stuff a bit more next time. But I think what one thing we can take from this is that the deepest reason people don't believe isn't intellectual. You know, we ask the question, is it true? But Jesus is saying there's a deeper reason underneath that, is that people are not believing in him because they don't want to come into the light, because they prefer to keep doing what they're doing and don't want to be exposed. Which is why we need God's help, why we need to be born again, because only God can change our hearts and give us life and change us so that we can become like the people in verse 21 who come into the light, come into his loving light and find rescue. Believe that God alone can give life. Believe in Jesus alone to receive life. If you're a happy Christian, as I suggested at the beginning, I think this is just a reminder not to get proud, not to get cocky. Remember, God alone gives life. It all depends on him. So we need to say, thank you, God, for what you've done. If you're feeling like maybe an unhappy Christian, if I could put it like that, that you know, life isn't easy at the moment, remember, God gives life. Remember his power. Remember his promises. It does not depend on you. He hasn't promised he hasn't promised an easy passage through this life, but he has promised a safe arrival at eternal life. So don't be like the Israelites in the desert. If you're what I call the sort of happy, not yet Christian, well, Jesus wants to puncture your confidence in order to bring you to his cross, in order that you may have life eternal, because he loves you. And if you're a not happy, not yet Christian, well, Jesus is saying, you need rebirth. You must be born again. Don't go to the massive self-help section in Smith's bookshop. Don't look for a change of circumstances. Early retirement doesn't necessarily live up to what people hope. No, you must be born again. God alone can give life. Well, we started thinking about the midlife crisis, the desire for life and the fear of missing out. Well, Jesus here offers life to every single one of us. And he does remind us here that we can miss out. We will miss out if we don't receive it. But God loves you. He really loves you more than you can imagine. So come to him, or come to him again through his Son, the Savior of the world, and receive eternal life. Let's pray, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the Lord Jesus. Thank you so much that you loved the world so much that you gave your one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Lord, I pray for each and every one of us today. Please help us to respond to you. Please, would your Holy Spirit be at work even now in our hearts, helping us to receive your life for the first time if we need to, reminding us, recharging us with that life, if we need that too. And help us all to be just so thankful for the hope and for the love that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.